Let's go. Hey, hey, hey. Today's a Wednesday. Wait, are we hearing this on a Wednesday or?
They're hearing it today.
Oh, okay. Hey, leave all that in. Let's go. Voicemails, voicemails, voicemails. You and us, you and us, you and I. Hey, what's going on, y'all? I am Joe's McFly. Welcome to the Talking Yanks voicemail app.
Voicemail.
Feel free to reach out to us every week. 908-845-5792.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only show in the company is run by you. Make sure you reach out to us. I am joined here by BBD.
Ayo.
And in the Grappler's Corner is Alex
Grapp.
Let's go. What's good? How are you guys, real quick?
Not bad.
Can't be upset with New York sports right
Feeling
now.
Feeling good?
That's awesome.
Everyone's going well. Blowout win Big last blowout. Night for the Yanks.
When was the last time the Yankees like just straight up just Verlander like that? Like that's been, it feels like a
last September.
Oh, well, did not feel that way.
That was Jason Dominguez got him.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't here, so.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six,
it's funny what
seven.
Lefties can do in a lineup, huh?
Having some extra lefties is pretty sick. You can beat Verlander now, even though he's been good against lefties, Boone told us.
Yeah?
I have an important update before we get into the voicemails.
Please.
The next seven midweek series are all on Thursdays.
Okay.
And they all are at different times, the games. This Thursday, against Houston, 5 o'clock. Next Thursday at Minnesota, 1:10. Then here against Seattle at 12:35. Then the Angels, 9:35. Then Twins at 7, Royals at 2, Orioles at 4. So we got 5, 1, 12:30, 9:30, 7, 2, 4, and then we get to 7 again.
Why? Why so much?
Just why so make difference. The schedule the same? There's one West Coast trip in there, obviously, but yeah, wildly different times.
Insane.
Now, 7 weeks in a row of a different time.
12:35 is East Coast time or Central?
East Coast time. Yeah, and they're playing in New York against Seattle. It's a 9:30 a.m. for people in Seattle.
Why is that game happening? There must be something else going on.
Why is that not a 3:30? How are none of these a 3:30? How is that not one of the times I listed? I just listed seven different times. So the Yankees' schedule has just been that's been just kooky.
Very kooky. Very weird. It's just different record schedules for Talking Yanks.
Yeah, it's just every week's like a little off. What it is. That's crazy. Maybe we just dive into the voicemails.
Yes, let's go ahead and dive into voicemails. Voicemails brought to you by you because it's by you, for you, for you, by you. Thanks.
Cool. We got a few calls about this one this week. It's pretty interesting, so let's let them take it away.
All right.
Hey, boys. Love the show.
What's good?
We start having the conversation that Clark should go to the bullpen and Heel should stay in the rotation. Because I feel like we know what Boone's going to do. And then it's also what the fans want. And they don't really correlate. So I'm for Heel. He passed the eye test. He can go through the third time and he would let me know what you guys think. Bye.
You know what? That's interesting. However, what I do like is something a little different. I do like the piggyback option with both of them. You can't. I know the way Luis Heel is pitching right now. Y de lo mío personal, right now, is pitching so well. He has the right kind of attitude on the mound as well. However, we can't ignore that he was hurt last year. And we also can't ignore that there will be some sort of innings limit. The Yankees won't give the number publicly. And they probably won't even tell Luis Heel the number, right?
They might not even have like a literal number in their head right now.
Right, but they know that they can't go crazy. He will be limited
at some point.
Right. They know he can't go crazy. You can't go from zero innings to like what, 170? That's insane. So they have to find a way to limit him, to protect him, because we're going to need him long term. I was talking to somebody at the ballpark yesterday, and they told me an interesting thing. They're like, well, he's kind of like part of the future. I don't see them going after starting pitching. Oh, I was talking to, actually, we were talking to Courage.
Mm.
You guys know Courage. Jack Courage, gamer. He's the gamer, very famous, all of that stuff. Anyway, so he said, we're probably not going to go after pitching next year because we have to pay Juan Soto. We probably need to, like, other positions, stuff like that.
They need as many spots that they'll, like, correct, use to be cheap as they can.
Correct.
As they can.
And he's one of them. So you got to protect them.
Yeah. And I've loved what I've seen from Luis Gil. I'm in. He's fully earned the chance to continue.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the starter thing. But between the two of them, which one seems like they'd be a more electric reliever? And Clark, I think, it would be good in that role as well. We've seen him have success there at the major league level with that. But Luis Gil could be like a dynamic reliever. Right. If you're talking about which person could thrive more in that role, it's that. And also, like, just Gil, health questions aside, next test for him is seeing a few more opponents for a second time. And I guess, is he facing Houston this time? Or last night he faced Houston for the first time.
Houston? I thought he did.
I guess he was game five, so he missed him. The only team
he's, Clark last game, yeah.
The only team he's faced twice. He got back-to-back Blue Jays appearances.
How do you do there?
The first start was 4.12 earned. The next was 5.03 earned, and that was the 7 walk day. Like, he was much worse the second time facing them. Now, was that a particular day thing? Because that day was just no good. But it survived, like, and even within that start, I take a positive out if he got through 5. But let's see him face some teams a second time. That'll be a big test for him.
That is a big test.
There's more of a book on you and guys have seen you before.
Correct.
That'll be a big test for him as a starter. Clark, I know we all would love to see him get through 6. That would be cool and good. But he's objectively been also effective this year. I'd love for him to give you a little more length, but if everybody else was giving, if we were getting 6 every time out from Rodon, Nestor, Stroman, which we aren't far off from.
Right.
If we were getting 6 from those every time, I don't think we'd care nearly as much that Clark hasn't done that yet. That's clearly the next step for him and the next thing he's got to work on. I don't know how we'll get to there during this year. That's Matt Blake's job, not mine. But that's the clear next step is how do you, Clark Schmidt, go about getting us some length, because you have the third best ERA in the rotation. Everybody's been mostly effective, but you've been pretty good. A little more length would be cool, but you're giving us competitive looks every time out. So I'm comfortable with what Clark's given. Excited about a next step, and he needs to take a next step if he wants to get paid someday. But
mm-hmm. I think the important thing with that to note, and then this is the last thing that we'll talk about it real quick, is just that, you know, putting Luis Gil in the bullpen, just, you got to understand that he has a propensity to lose the zone and start walking people. But he's been really good, and his stuff can tick up in the bullpen. All right, who's our next voicemail?
Next caller just wants you guys to name some random Yankees.
Okay.
Gents, how we doing? This is James from D.C. Question for both of you today. Who are those random Yankees that just hold a special place in your heart? For me, I'm thinking of 2008, 2010, Alfredo Aceves, Jason Nix back in 2013. Mm. Who are those guys that you think in a different universe have a Hall of Fame career with the Yanks that no one else probably agrees with? Thanks.
Hall of Fame. Well, Alan Embry. No, well,
I think this is different from what he's thinking of, but a go-to I just latched on to Eric Hinsky when he became a Yankee. Nothing really happened there. Obviously part of that World Series team, but he didn't even have like specific moments. I was 11 years old and was like in.
Right.
So that he's one of those guys.
You know, one guy for me is, I don't want to say random Yankee, but he, when his career's said and done, you're probably not going to think of him as a Yankee. And that's Carlos Beltran. I mean, if we would have had Carlos Beltran, let's just say when he became a free agent and he wanted to come to the Yankees, what was it, in 05 or going into the 05 season?
Before he signed with the Mets.
Correct. Before he signed with the Mets, he wanted to be a Yankee. Now, the Yankees had Bernie Williams at the time, but he was on his way, you know, out.
Yeah.
If the Yankees would have had, I feel like he would have been like a godly player for the Yankees. And I feel like Carlos Beltran, his postseason greatness would have like catapulted the Yankees some more championships in October. You know, you were just thinking about certain runs that were kind of cut short that would have been longer if we had somebody else. 07 comes to mind, you know, and then you plug him in with that 09 team. Maybe we don't have Johnny Damon because we have him.
Yeah.
But Beltran was a guy.
There's a fun like alternate reality game you could play there.
Right.
It's like how many things would have changed if just like his and Bernie's timelines lined up a little different.
Right.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Beltran's my guy. Like that's the guy that would be like, man, that guy would have been insane.
Which his prime could have been
correct. His prime would have been crazy.
But
could you imagine that Astros Beltran on the Yankees?
Yeah.
I mean, and not only that, the one that was on the Mets that was, when was it? What year? 06? The year the Cardinals won. That year, that postseason, the Mets fans give him a lot of shit. The Mets fans that are not in the know, the Mets fans that are like good Mets fans don't give him shit because he was really good in that whole series. Mm. He just took strike three, so people, yeah, whatever. But he was really good. Beltran was awesome.
He was awesome. Cervelli, I really liked.
Yeah.
And then he leaves the Yankees after 14, has a couple nice seasons in Pittsburgh would have been like, he's a guy who like, there's a world where he could have like gotten years as a starter, as a real starter,
right,
and would have been fun. People liked him. Every now and then I get in like some interesting conversations about Luke Voit and like what happened. Cause
right,
he was like good. He's like really good. Like every time, especially when he was healthy, he produced. Like hit for average as well. Like his numbers as a Yankee are really good. Even 2021, they aren't amazing, but I think he was hurt for parts of that year and it's 68 games total. And he gets kind of just flipped because the Yankees needed to change things. Like it wasn't about not liking him anymore. This isn't even really like a wanting him to be a Yankee thing, but then like San Diego, he was again pretty good. Nationals, he has whatever down the stretch of 22 year that is whatever. The team wasn't competitive. If he didn't feel motivated at that point, he gets caught up in the Soto trade. And he like basically hasn't played since 22 games with Milwaukee. He hasn't gotten into a big league game since. I've just been wondering for a while, like what happened there? Because he really did hit. And I didn't get the sense. I know the sample since leaving technically has been bad. Like the Milwaukee 22 games was bad, but he's mashed in AAA, clearly doesn't belong there, just hasn't gotten run anywhere. Like what? Why hasn't a team done it?
Maybe, I don't know, maybe defense, maybe. I'm not sure. The other pitcher and...
He's an archetype that doesn't get you like paid anymore, but...
Right.
He's not that good, but like you can clearly still hit, I think, if he plays.
Right. Like one guy that just popped into my brain, and I wish it because he became so good and so good playoff wise. I wish Nathan Eovaldi would have worked here. Nathan Eovaldi is one of those guys as well where it's like, whoo! That guy became a guy when he left. You know, like he was really good. So
got healthy, some next steps. Like the tools that the Yankees weren't wrong about him. Like they believed he got hurt and contract ran out and all that. But yeah, he's one that I think the Yankees wish they could get to redo.
Right.
Just because like you just roll the dice again and it probably works out better.
That's good.
You guys remember the Xavier Nady trade?
Oh, yeah. That was supposed to be a splash. Nady's another one I loved.
Xavier Nady. 2009 champ.
Yeah. He opening day right fielder that year.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked him.
So our next caller picked up on something that I'm curious if you guys have noticed about some Yankees accessories.
Okay.
Hey, guys. This is Jim calling from Rhode Island, calling with a question about Victor Gonzalez. Specifically, is he wearing Oswaldo Cabrera's necklace? It looks like when he's on the mound, he's got almost an identical copy of Oswaldo's rookie necklace. He didn't wear it with the Dodgers, so I want to know, when did this start? Did he get it from Oswaldo? And does this have anything to do with Oswaldo hitting a homer off of him last year in the Dodgers series? Shout out to my little sister, Bridie, who was on this first over at Seton Hall. Nice. And thanks. Go Yanks.
Oh, Yanks. Let me see. I'm going to take a look at. I do see Victor. I just looked at his. He does have Oswaldo's necklace on. I don't know what that's about. So it is true. I just looked at a picture. He does have it on. Not the best of faces right here.
But that's for sure the necklace.
Oh, that is definitely the necklace. I have the same one.
Yeah.
I don't know where he wears it. I mean, but maybe because he's his friend on the team, but.
Yeah. I mean, I know Oswaldo's. Like the jeweler who makes those, like other guys, he have that.
Right.
So I don't know. It seems it does look like I can't see a picture of Victor Gonzalez with the Dodgers where he's wearing it. So maybe Oswaldo put him on, introduced him, and all that. Because I think the guy's around.
Right.
We follow each other. I should chat him out if I can find his username.
Hmm.
But yeah.
Victor Gonzalez? Let me see.
I think there's like a couple of the players on the Rays wear his stuff. Oswaldo.
But the same like Oswaldo. Like
I don't know if there's like specific details I'm missing that would make it specific to Oswaldo. I'm
trying to see if he has like an Instagram or something. I don't know. I don't see it. I don't know if it's because he homered off. That I don't know, all right? But I do know that he is wearing it, so we can confirm that.
He's wearing a necklace that I am pretty confident is the same necklace, which I like.
Yeah.
I like. I want to love Victor Gonzalez very badly.
Hmm.
And I think we might be getting close to it happening. Can't find the guy.
Yeah, I can't find anything here that shows me like maybe a reason why or like when he started. I know it was with the Yankees. He wasn't wearing it with the Dodgers. Could have been spring training. I wish I paid attention.
Yeah, it'd be hard. I don't even know where to begin as far as figuring out how to find when he started wearing it.
Right.
There's one picture. That's not the same necklace.
Maybe it's one of those power necklaces that give you, like, powers.
Fighting?
What else? Why would I say power necklace that gives you something else? I don't know. Thank you, and congrats.
It does look nice on him.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. That was just a fun little tidbit.
Yeah. Nice. I didn't even notice that. I'm glad you pointed it out.
I wouldn't have noticed that organically.
At all.
Thank you.
Was good, Pop.
What's good, Pop?
I just want to shout out Boone for putting Verdugo in the four spot because I feel like Yankees offense has been a lot better since he's moved to the four spot. And with Rizzo in the six spot, he's been hot. I love it. Love the show. Want to hear your thoughts. Go Yanks, baby. Let's beat the fucking Astros. Let's go, baby.
I love that. I love that energy. You know, I agree with you. Let's beat him. Let's not even lose a game to him. How about that? I love that. But what I'll say is, yes, Verdugo at four, he's not your prototypical four hitter, but he breaks up strikeouts and he extends rallies and he doesn't strike out and he breaks up strikeouts and he puts the bat on the ball and he breaks up strikeouts and he gets hits and he breaks up strikeouts. And I like that. And did I mention that he also breaks up strikeouts? So thanks. And he's a lefty. So it's awesome. So he just fits there, nestles.
He nestles in there nice.
I like it.
And Rizzo, you know, all small sample sizes and all that, but
he's hitting better there.
The stats between him batting fourth, fifth, sixth. In the six hole, 5 games, 22 plate appearances. He is batting 611.
Yes.
With a 682 on base and a 1.2 slugging.
Tell him.
That's a 1.904 OPS in those 5 games.
Tell him.
11 for 18. 3 of his 6 homers on the year are in that 6 slot. He's walked 4 times. That's one off from his most at any of those positions. His 2 doubles match his highest at any spot. Rizzo is producing out of there. I think he's getting a little comfortable. He pretty immediately took to it and like was made it not really a big deal.
It's good on Riz. He didn't take it
personal. The change has been really good, and I think good for the health of the lineup.
I agree. Very good. And I hope we keep it that way for as long as we can. Yankees are like really good right now. I came to the realization yesterday with Jake. I looked at the team and I seen what they just did to the Astros, and the Astros are not the same team, of course. And then I thought about a record and how still Judge is still not, well, that he's hitting, if you really butter knife certain numbers starting from a certain day, he's hitting like 300, you know.
It was fun yesterday when I was looking at the splits of like the 17 games and 17 right. days and like who did the best over that. And Judge was right there with Soto on, as far as
oh good
overall numbers. I think the back half of that, he got kind of hot.
Good.
Because his last 4 games, one dotting. Jimmy and I were getting in a little bit of a rabbit hole. Like, how far back can you go and these numbers are objectively good? Like, I've gone back 14 games, one dotting.
Mm.
Go back the start of this stretch. I think he has an 890 OPS.
Well, how many at bats is that? I have one from
that's in his last 78 plate appearances.
Oh, okay, yeah. I seen one here from Yankee source that gave me last 58, which he's even better. I mean, he's 14 for 46, 2 doubles, 4 homers, 10 RBI, 11 walks, 13 Ks, batting 304 with a 1.0 OPS, which is great.
You can go as far back because the series he's had that have been good have been so good.
Yes.
It's like going back to the Cleveland series, his last 24 games, technically that's 244 with an 819 OPS. That's sub Judge, but objectively like a good stat line.
Yeah.
Looking at some of those splits recently, I'm like, oh, okay, if he starts getting actually like really hot, the numbers will still be fine.
Yeah.
We're not at a point where it's like, you're not going to make this year look like a good one. Like there were some,
it's still, it was still early enough.
Like Gary years where it's like, you got to June. I'm like, damn it, Gary. Like even if you go hot the rest of the way, like we're kind of not going to save that average. But yeah.
He saved the homers, I think, that year.
Yeah. The homers were fun. And even in those bad years.
Yeah. So, I forgot what I was going to say, actually. We got into that, but I was saying something. Oh yeah, yeah. I realized that the team was like really, really good. Like,
good.
We have like the same record as the Dodgers right now, and it's like
It hasn't felt like they've gone again since.
I think 2022 had a similar record as we do now, and we felt like we were like, oh shit, we're like 98. Like
we're off to an awesome start, right?
But for some reason, am I the only one, guys? Let me know in the comments. Am I crazy for realizing this yesterday? Or maybe some of you guys haven't realized it yet, or you guys have realized it like a long time ago. Like, what are you talking about, Joe's? But like the team's kind of like really good and they're meshing well offensively. Like one part leads into the other. So it's going well.
Yeah. They are tied for the best record in the AL with Baltimore, which is tough. Which has them tied for third in all of baseball record wise. They've been objectively good.
Okay.
It's been how we've gotten here. There's enough to have like questions and have fun, have interesting conversations, but like they're here.
Mm-hmm.
We got this far. I mean, even you dig a little deeper. We're still in a weird area for using run differentials, the sample size is still a little small, but fourth best run differential in baseball. Now that's, I think I like run differential more than I should.
I do too.
Like I think it's among the better predictors of future success.
Big time.
Once the sample size gets to a certain size, get to the Memorial Day we've been circling. And I'm curious where we'll be at that point.
Like, look at the numbers at Memorial Day and say, oh, okay, well, this is where we're at. And Memorial Day is coming, what is it, final Monday of this month, I think? Last Monday of, I think it is.
It's this month, yeah.
It's this month. It is the, yeah, it is.
We're going to be in 27th, midday in a sec.
Final Monday of this month.
Nice. So, it's cool.
Before
the Yankees Mother's have been really good.
Yes.
The record's good.
Very cool. Very cool. Very cool. Thank you.
Our next caller, Alex, great name, is keeping receipts.
Oh, okay.
Hey, guys. This is Alex here. Since it's been two full years since the crazy offseason of the shortstop, wanted to hear your guys' takes on how you feel about Volpe now that he's gotten a full season and kind of been good a little bit, bad a little bit, versus looking around at the other options that were available. So Seager, who has gone nuts the last couple of years, but is owed, you know, $30 million a year for the next 7 years. You know, the Javi Baez disaster, or like the weird situations with Correa and Story. So just kind of how you're feeling about the decision to not sign a shortstop and, you know, maybe we can revisit this in a couple years as well. Thanks, guys. Bye.
I'm good with Volpe because he gives you a sense of future. Now, Seager's a funny one, but the way you gotta look at Seager, at least for me, is I'm pitting him against Soto, right? I don't think both contracts happen on the same team. I don't think you have Judge, Seager, Soto. I don't, you know, because he fulfills the need as, you know, that lefty. Right.
Yeah.
And I just don't see how that works. Maybe a trade might still happen, but I don't know. I love Soto so much more long term for this team than what I do. Seager's still awesome. I'm just thinking long term here. And then I'm happy with Volpe, because then what would you do with Volpe then at that time? Unless you just make him a second baseman and you would have traded Glaber by this time already? Like I don't know. Either or, Volpe would have to be part of your future. So I'd rather him kind of develop where he needs to develop now.
If they sign Soto long term, it makes the whole thing much easier to stomach in hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
Volpe in general, I've been fine with. I don't even think about him in terms of like they passed up on all these shortstops for him. Like that's none of his business.
Right.
But,
I get the question though.
But they did pass on all these shortstops, like the Javi, Correa, Swanson, Story,
right,
Bogarts, Seager,
Semien, technically.
Semien was shortstop at the time. So like Semien, I don't think was gonna be sticking it at short much longer, if at all.
Who from would you have rather have is the real question.
Baez would not rather have.
I guess Seager's the one you would rather have.
Seager's the one that it hurts that they just like weren't involved.
Yeah. But you know, hindsight is 20/20, right? But I really honestly don't think the Yankees even pursue Soto in any way whatsoever if we have Seager.
I think so. And maybe there's a world where we're fine with that. Like if we have Seager, maybe they still would have done this rental trade, but we're here talking about how like he will be gone. There just isn't room for him. That would have been weird.
Right.
And we probably wouldn't be okay with it, but
would not.
Because I want more. I'm a fan.
You'd want more.
But like Yankees, like who's playing third base next year, year after? No idea. Like even at the time, we were all saying in this office, well, like sign Seager and like he'll play third base. His shortstop didn't grade out great. It seemed like he could definitely be a third baseman at some point. And he is His shortstop play, I think, has gotten better by the metric since then. Trey Turner, they passed on. So like, there's room for all these guys, and you are still the Yankees. So you could have made it work if you wanted to be sickos, but Seager's the only one that it's like, man, wish they made more of an effort, but they were never really in. They just weren't in. That's what really hurt.
Right.
The Correa, I don't hate the reasons that they weren't in. Like, it was a lot of just lingering Astros hate. IMO. and it turned the next year, they had less of a spot for him, I think. Or did they more? I'm blanking on my off seasons, but the ankles, the concern. So whatever. If the Yankees had, if that was a concern for them too, sure. So I guess the other ones don't really hurt.
They don't.
Whether it would have been Seager moving to third, does Volpe have the ability to play third? Probably profiles better as if he's going to play not shortstop, playing second base. I like him
as a middle infielder.
There is a part in my brain that's like, if they ever do, and Volpe shortstop has gotten to a place that I just straight up think he's a good defensive shortstop now. Like, like no caveats. I think he's just good, but I do think there would be a like Simeon like thing where if they ever did have him go play second, might be like the best second baseman.
Okay,
like there that's still like something in my, and that's been in the back of my head. If they ever find themselves acquiring another shortstop in 2-3 years,
we'll see. Could they have fun. People in the farm. They've drafted shortstops. They have nothing but. So we'll see.
Yeah, if one of them comes up and like should be at short,
Lombard.
If Peraza plays next year and seems like he should just be the shortstop, maybe there's a flipping there.
We'll see.
The options are always out there.
Mm-hmm.
The roster is evolving.
Always. We're fine. We're fine with where we're at, basically, we said.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Time to put on your batting coach hats.
Okay.
Hey, I love what you guys do. Glaber just struck out to end the, I think it was like the fourth inning. What happened to his toe tap? He was hitting great with two strikes when he had a little toe tap. I think he was getting a little conceited now. You know, I don't know. I think his leg kick coming back is ruining his average. He's got to go back to the toe tap. All right, thanks. Bye.
Actually, I'd love if Glaber go back to what he did his rookie year, which is with two strikes, he's just flat. Not flat-footed, but he's not. He has no movement in his front foot at all. Again, I'm not a hitter or anything, but I remember specifically talking about his two-strike approach where he became more of a slap hitter, and he would keep his kind of stay on his back leg more and not lift up his front leg like the time or anything. He just stay there and just bat to ball. And his at-bats used to be awesome to watch because of that.
He was like a big like mid pitch adjustment. Like he was a fun like slow mo to go watch. You'd see him like,
yeah,
like the bat just changes,
right?
And I do feel like it's been a while since I've seen that. Now last year he was good and really driving balls and hitting a ton of doubles and homers and they needed that, and I think they do still kind of need that. But if you're not gonna drive the ball, or you aren't right now, like you're in theory, Glaber is a good bat to ball guy, like as far as ability goes.
Right.
I don't know what the results fully say, but they.
I think I've seen Glaber's. I seen his Baseball Savant page. And it wasn't looking good because of how his stuff was, how it's going so far from last year to this year. But
he was great at avoiding strikeouts and drawing walks and all that last year. This year it's a lot bluer.
So yeah, like I'm not gonna go to like these crazy. His barrel percentage is down. He's in the blue there. His hard hit rate is in 15th percentile. This year, his K rate is in the 35th percentile. His whiff rate is in the 37th percentile. Chase rate is actually really good in 81. So he's not like chasing out of the zone, and that's awesome. But
his swing decisions haven't been bad.
He's not getting the bat on the ball.
He's missing barrels more.
And expected batting average is 13th percentile. Expected slugging, 6th percentile. That's pretty bad.
It's just not who Glaber's supposed to be.
It's not. So hopefully it can change. You know, last year, I mean, he was in the red in almost every category except for exit velo, barrel percentage, and hard hit rate. But even so, he was like at the middle. Like his numbers last year.
He didn't have anything with the stick that Savant graded out as bad.
Right. His K rate was 91%.
His worst offensive traits were still more or less average.
He was killing it
last year. And like everything was firmly in like a good category.
Oh, yeah.
His fieldings. He needs to hit. He hasn't been hitting. It's looked and felt a bit better. But there's more in there, and it's time to go.
It is time to go.
He's had a decent stretch now of just like treading water that we got to do more now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Yeah.
Contract year. I think we got time for one more just fun thought exercise for you guys.
Let's do it. Sure.
Hey, guys, what's up? Just listening to the broadcast today, and I really like Joe Girardi all year. I feel like he's given really good insight. What previous Yankee coach or player would you guys also like to see do a game on YES Network?
Joe Girardi's really good.
Girardi has been good.
Previous coach that would be really good. Previous coach or player? Because I feel like
I think we can expand to
players. Because coach, I mean, some of those 90s Yankees are like kind of older, so they have like the slower cadence. But they might have some good stories. But I don't know. In terms of players, I would.
Trying to look through some of the rosters and see who sticks out as a guy who would do it.
I would love an unfiltered CC broadcast.
CC's a good answer. Obviously, he has a certain like tone to him that I don't know if he wants to adjust to be like awesome TV. Like he's openly said, I don't want to wear a suit.
Right.
But like objectively, like CC would be awesome.
Oh yeah,
as a commentator on a game.
I'm thinking about who else would be like fire to like listen to.
Look at some of the. I mean, what far down the line? Look at any of the guys who have been like are nerdier pitchers, like King or Otto or Clark, and you know we're talking 15 years from now, like those can be fun.
I don't want to get bored. Not that I'm saying that they're boring, but start talking to me about numbers all day. I want some entertainment in there.
They haven't had a ton of guys who are sticking out to me as like obvious, like they'd be awesome in the booth,
right?
You know,
I don't know. Torres.
Torres.
You guys want Torres in there? Just
if
you know what I think. Didi might be cool, man. Didi might be Didi's like a real call. Cool guy to have in there. Just kind of, you know, just talking about like inner workings or like what you would do. Or if somebody's like trying to handle pressures in New York, he could talk about that. Or like Didi could be a good guy for it.
He is a guy who's just like good at everything.
Yeah.
If his time, and the audience won't agree with this one, but if his last like 3 years as a Yankee went better, like Hicks, he's a guy who like I think would have been fun at that. I don't know if that's anything he would have ever been interested in. it feels like that path is closed.
Right.
But he is a guy who was part of these teams and does have the like stories and relationships with guys that like, I think he would have been.
Oh, Willie Randolph would be a good guy.
Oh, that's a better like throwback.
You know, he
one.
Gives you the manager angle. And he's worked with guys. He was a Gold Glover. He was a captain of the team. And he's well-spoken. He's entertaining as well. Like, whenever he speaks, he always has, like, good stories to tell. So, like, I think Willie Randolph would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what I'd think of, like, Zach Britton. Because he's like, well-spoken. Players like him. Was part of those good teams.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm
trying to think of like recent dudes that like were anything.
I'm now unbelievably sold on Willie Randolph.
Willie is awesome. You had the bet. Willie's awesome. Indeed, he's just good at and fun at everything.
How about put Tanaka in there, bro? Let me see.
Just let us see.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for joining us this week. Let's go. 908-845-5792. Thank you for leaving us voicemails. Like, comment, subscribe. Let's go.
And you really want AJ Cole doing it.
See you guys later.